Taking Stock on News Talk.
Thanks to Skillnet Ireland, driving business success through innovative training and upskilling.
You're welcome to Taking Stock on News Talk with me, Vincent Wall. We're joined now by News Talk's own John Fardy, expert on the entertainment sector generally and presenter of Screen Time, the best movie show on radio. John, you're very welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much. You know, I was talking to someone the other day and I said, Billy Connolly says the problem with the world is there's too many experts. So just a little credo to get this going.
Well, let's try you out now. We're not going to talk movies today, John. We're going to talk the music industry. And this trend, I suppose, which really came to prominence back in the autumn when Bob Dylan sold 100% of his music catalogue for a reported $300 or $400 million to Universal Music Publishing Group. And since then, a lot of other artists have done so as well. The trend, though, seems to have happened quite a bit before that. I was looking and seeing that Hipgnosis, one of these funds that buying up these back catalogues, spent $700 million between March and September of last year buying up all sorts of artists' rights, the likes of Blondie, Barry Manilow, Chrissie Hynde. Let's start with why many of these artists, many of them of a certain age, are selling their catalogues, or some of them now. It can't be that they need the money.
No, it hardly is. But a couple of things have happened. Chief among them has been streaming. And that's a well-trodden path we've discussed. But in this instance, it's a double-edged sword to places like Amazon Music and Spotify. Because what Spotify and the other streaming service has given the industry is very specific numbers about how much music is worth in terms of the numbers of streams and stuff like that. And those artists that you list out there all have something in common. Bob Dylan, Neil Young, Stevie Nicks, Barry Manilow. They're what you would call legacy artists. They've been around a long time and the numbers are there to prove it. I mean, the streams on Bob Dylan songs are into the hundreds of millions. Now, even though traditionally Bob Dylan made very little from individual streams, if you take his entire back catalogue and you look at the numbers of streams on, say, Spotify, it's obvious how much that is worth. So even though we have a situation where musicians are paid, like a recent estimate said that like it was something like 3,000 streams would give an artist the minimum wage per hour. So like that's an appalling economics. But when you look at it from the other side, when you can actually count the numbers of how much of these songs are streamed on a particular month or week or year, it's obvious that there is a huge amount of money to be made on the legacy artist. So here you have musicians who are making no money from record sales anymore. And Universal Music, for instance, shows up and says, well, I will give you $300 million for everything you've ever made. It's hard to argue with that, you know?
And I suppose in the current environment, they're not making money from record sales anymore. And at the moment, they're not even able to go on live tours, which was another more recent, I suppose, source of income for them. So their minds are probably focused if somebody comes knocking with a very attractive deal.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that was the thing up until Corona came to town. A lot of these legacy artists found themselves back on the road because it was the only way to make money and they became road warriors. And of course, now that's completely gone. So as you say, if someone shows up with a hat full of cash, why wouldn't you? I mean, David Crosby of Crosby, Stills and Nash fame, who I'm sure you're aware of, was on Twitter recently and he just happened to respond to someone who was kind of bemoaning the fact that big artists were selling the copyright to their songs. And he tweeted saying, I'm selling mine also. I can't work and streaming has stolen my record money. I have a family and a mortgage I have to take care of. So it's my only option. And like, this is David Crosby of Crosby, Stills and Nash saying something like this. So, you know, it's in a state of chaos, really.
So I suppose we can't assume that all these artists do have ready cash available. They have, many of them have complex lives. Many of them have invested or are throwing their money away. So some of them maybe do need the money. But is it the case as well that streaming has opened up these fabulous suites of songs, legacy songs from legacy artists to whole new generations that they've been tried and tested and the buyers of this music know it will continue to sell over time?
Absolutely. And I mean, there's a movie released this week called One Night in Miami, which is a fantastic movie. And the Bob Dylan song Blowing in the Wind is used to tremendous effect in it. And that song has been used in all sorts of movies over the years and will continue to be. And so by example, there are just certain songs and certain artists that, you know, are going to show up in all sorts of places for years to come based on the previous 40 years or 50 years plus in Dylan's case. You know, and what you said also there about the complicated lives of artists, I just want to come back to that, because if you take Bob Dylan, for instance, right, he's notoriously private about his private life, but it's we certainly know that he has 6 children from a variety of different people, and there could be more. So even though Bob Dylan is loaded beyond a lot of people's wildest dreams, there is a lot to be, you know, paid back, it would seem. Plus, and in a way, I have a lot of sympathy for these artists at this stage deciding to cash in. And the reason is the music business is littered with, particularly with these legacy artists, being taken to the cleaners. Like, you know, musical artists back in the day were babes in the wood. They were getting into it to make music and have a career in music. And, you know, as Billy Joel said, they were just kids making music. So they just kept signing things away because they didn't know any better. And, you know, they were taken to the cleaners repeatedly. Bob Dylan was, Billy Joel was, Bruce Springsteen spent years in negotiations trying to get out of contracts, Elton John, like Elvis Presley was mismanaged by Colonel Tom Parker all his life. He was just this kid from Mississippi and they tried to turn him into a circus clown and they were robbed. So it's in a way poetic justice that they should now be in a position where they're allowed to make $300 million in a way, because so much historically was taken from them and was certainly tried to be taken from them. Like, it was traditionally a very larcenous business. So I kind of say hats off to them in a lot of ways.
And you mentioned the number of children that we believe Bob Dylan has, and many of these artists, yeah, and most of them were men, did have complicated lives and may have a lot of dependents looking at them. They're getting to a certain age. Perhaps part of the drive now when people come knocking is a bit of estate planning, that at least they know what assets they have before they die and before it gets into complicated lawsuits.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, as we know, unfortunately, you know, rock stardom is peopled with people who go too soon and leave, you know, complicated quagmires behind them in terms of who owns what. And you see, there's also the whole issue of, you know, copyright versus having written a song. Just because traditionally, certainly back in the day, that you wrote a song didn't mean you owned it. And, you know, even with one hit song, this can employ lawyers for years to come. So the idea of getting the whole kit and caboodle off your hands, almost, as unartistic as it sounds, you know, to have it gone and you know there's a figure on it and it can be divided this way is a very attractive thing, you know. Plus, you know, people like Dylan have also become very shrewd businessmen over the years because of, as I mentioned, the larcenous nature of the music business. And they realized that they had to start taking care of stuff. And, you know, Dylan, who famously disavowed all sorts of, you know, corporateness in the early days, you know, back in the mid-noughties was appearing in ads for Victoria's Secrets and stuff like that. So I think Dylan's played a very clever long game, you know.
There's also been a suggestion that the timing may also be driven a little bit by the change of administration happening in the United States at the moment, because Joe Biden has pledged to increase the level of capital gain tax on wealthy people. And the sale of music catalogues would be the sale of an asset, currently taxed at 20% in the United States. That tax, if Biden gets his way, could go up to nearly 40%. So there may be an element of that in terms of driving the timing as well.
Yeah, I've heard that. Now, you're much more comfortable in capital gains tax areas than I am. I'm merely an entertainment expert, as you described me. But yeah, but that's a significant, you know, from 20 to 37%, the figure I had read. I mean, that's sizable. That's, you know, nearly, what is that as a percentage? It's nearly 20%. So that is significant, even for these musicians who aren't particularly, you know, financially savvy. There's also, you know, interest rates, which are also appear to be playing a flavor in it, that it's now's a good time to do it because the interest rates are low, and it, selling songs is a bit like selling homes and stuff like that, and doing it during a low interest rate time is a good way to do it, you know, because at the end of the day, you know, Hypnosis Music, who you mentioned, you know, they're not in it for any kind of, you know, these are venture capitalists in essence, so like they're not in it for any artistic wherewithal, and so low interest rates and low taxes before they change is certainly a motivation and all this, without question.
And finally, turning to what the investment funds and Universal Music Publishing companies of this world might do with the music now that they're buying these catalogues, John. Obviously, they've got that pretty guaranteed streaming income that we discussed, but they'll want to sweat the asset more. They'll want to put it into movie soundtracks, as you say. They may also want to use it quite a lot in commercial advertisements, which will further undermine the kind of artistic moral ground of a lot of these songwriters, won't it?
It will, but you know, you've kind of made a Faustian pact when you've sold the stuff, and it's their turkey now, so to speak. You know, you're giving away your children, and the kids could grow up to be Broadway actors, or they could be peddling insurance. Who's to know? And it's not just commercials. They've found intriguing new ways to sweat assets, like the idea of doing a whole musical based on the songs of a particular artist. You know, that can be a huge money generator. Or you take something like Rocket Man, you know, the biopic of Elton John 2 years ago, I think it is at this stage, you know, a whole movie based around a set of songs. If you own those songs, and that movie, certainly when the cinemas were open, does hundreds of millions of dollars in, you know, ticket receipts, well, you're going to make a huge amount of money on that. So there are ways that those songs can be used that no one would have thought of 10 years ago, you know, like a Broadway musical, if it takes off, as you know, can run for years and get into $1 billion turnovers. So the future's unwritten in terms of where you could see Bob Dylan songs. It could be an all singing, all dancing, you know, Zimmerman Express on Broadway that does a world tour, you know.
As the great man himself wrote, the times they are a-changing, but we'll leave it there. And before we say goodbye to you, John, just to reassure our listeners that there's nothing wrong with peddling insurance, of course.
No, of course not.
That's News Talk's own John Fardy, presenter of Screen Time. John, thanks indeed for joining us.
Thank you.
Taking Stock on News Talk.
Thanks to Skillnet Ireland, driving business success through innovative training and upskilling.